Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we shall read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 6 through 13, where we read as follows in Jesus' name. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents, nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is the word of the Lord. Grace is not cheap. It cost God the blood of His only begotten Son. Forgiveness is freely given, but it was obtained through great expense. The obedience and suffering of Jesus is the price. To take sin lightly as being of no consequence is to despise the cost God paid to take it away. As we sing, "Ye who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the error great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed, see who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God." Grace is free, that doesn't make it cheap. The incarnate Son of God bore the load of the world's sin on the cross, offering His holy life to the penal justice of God as the ransom to set us free. By God's grace we are free. By God's grace our sins are forgiven. God's grace is not a license to sin. Grace is grace because it is not deserved and it cannot be earned. But when those who live under God's grace forget that they don't deserve it, they're heading for trouble. When people claim status as Christians and ignore their need for God's grace, they begin to think that there's something in them that makes them God's children. Pride goes before the fall. Pride is the root of all sin. Pride is setting our desires above God's clear commands. He says one thing, we want something else. What He says gives way to what we want. That's pride. And God humbles the proud. Jesus is our Redeemer. He sets us free from our sins. Redemption and forgiveness go together. Forgiveness of sin is not the freedom to sin. Sin is slavery, not freedom. Jesus does not set us free from our sins so that He can watch us become enslaved by them. God visits sin. Sin has consequences. The law kills. It kills people dead. St. Paul wrote the words before us today to the Christian congregation in Corinth. Corinth was a cesspool of vice. It was an international city with international problems. Most of its residents were slaves. Their standards of public morality were very low. America has not yet descended as far as ancient Corinth. They tolerated the most disgusting kinds of sins, and the Christian congregation in Corinth had become infected by the godless culture in which they lived. One man was having an affair with his father's wife. The congregation knew about it, but ignored it as if it was no big deal. The congregation would get together for church services, start drinking, and get drunk. Idolatry and sexual immorality were features of the life of their community, and they conformed to it. They practiced idolatry, committed sexual sins, and engaged in gluttony and drunkenness as if they were free as Christians to behave like unbelievers. It sounds much like our day, doesn't it? St. Paul the Apostle warned the Corinthian Christians about the consequences of living in sin. He held before them the example of the Israelites God led out of Egypt. He reminded them of what they did and what God did in response to what they did. They complained against God and his prophet Moses. They engaged in idolatry, ordering Aaron to make for them a golden god just like the Egyptians had. Committing spiritual adultery led them into physical adultery as they engaged in all sorts of sexual immorality. God let them have it. They paid for their rebellion. He put thousands of them to death. People don't see God's hand in it anymore. They think it's natural. But God builds a cause and effect into the way things are. He punishes sins with more sin. In Romans chapter 1, St. Paul describes how God gave them over to the natural consequences of their own sin. This leads to that. Sometimes it's obvious. When people commit fornication, babies are conceived whose parents are not prepared to give them a good upbringing. When people drink too much alcohol, their health and well-being suffer. The ancient Greeks, who were not even Christian, did understand a bit about the wages of sin when they said that virtue was its own reward. Even the thoroughly idolatrous Hindus, who worship literally thousands of idols, have, with their notion of karma, some understanding of how sin works its destruction in the natural world. What Christians who live under grace must understand is that while our good deeds won't gain us God's grace, our deliberate and defiant sin will lose us God's grace. God's grace can be lost. People who are Christians can fall away from Christ. It happens every day. It is tragic. It is heartbreaking. But denying that it can happen won't keep it from happening. As St. Paul said, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." These aren't empty words. The Israelites who fell away from God after God delivered them from the slavery they suffered under the Egyptians are examples for us. They are signs signifying the way things have always been. The Old Testament church and the New Testament church are the same church. The truth doesn't change. The way God deals with his people doesn't change. Deliberate sin without repentance is incompatible with the Christian faith. As St. Paul writes elsewhere, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. John Calvin was a very influential 16th century theologian who became the father of the Reformed churches, much as Martin Luther was the father of the Lutheran churches. The Reformed version of Protestantism has prevailed in America since colonial times. While strict Calvinism has been on the decline for quite some time now, one of his teachings has held on. It is the notion that Christians cannot fall away. The doctrine is known as once saved, always saved. Since God is faithful to his children, he won't let anyone fall from grace. A popular television preacher by the name of Charles Stanley wrote a book entitled Eternal Security, in which he set forth the once saved, always saved doctrine. Stanley served for a while as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant church body in America. The once saved, always saved doctrine is widely held among the so-called evangelicals in America. But it is false doctrine. We can be sure of our salvation. Make no mistake about that. God's word is sure. Jesus said of his sheep that no one could snatch them out of his hand. Listen to how clearly St. John teaches the certainty of salvation in 1 John 5, verses 11 through 13. And this is the testimony: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. God doesn't want us to doubt our salvation. As surely as Christ died for you and rose again, as surely as he gives you to eat and to drink his body and blood, given and shed for you for the remission of sins, so surely does he forgive you all your sins. And this gospel is the basis of our assurance of eternal life. Assurance, certainty, and faith are the same thing. But faith can be lost. It has been lost. The seed that falls among the thorns grows for a while and is then choked and dies. Moses the prophet and Paul the apostle both recount for us that many of those whom God set free from bondage in Egypt returned in unbelief to spiritual bondage. Their dead bodies littered the Sinai desert. They preferred Egyptian food to relying on God's daily bread. They worshiped false gods. They engaged in sexual immorality. They tempted Christ. They rejected the authority of Christ's servant Moses. They wanted their own homemade religion, and Jesus wouldn't go along. If you're going to be saved by grace, you cannot set the terms for your salvation. God's in charge. You're not. We live by repentance. Temptations can't be avoided. We're sinners living in a sinful world. You can't keep the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. When temptations come, we run from them. We run to Him who set us free. He won't let us be tempted beyond our ability to resist. He is faithful. He will keep us. We can know we are going to heaven. We can be sure. This certainty exists in the repentant heart that lives alone by mercy. My grace is sufficient for you, Jesus says. St. Paul tells us that our faithful God won't let us be tempted beyond what we can resist, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape. The way of escape is to turn to Christ, who was tempted in every way just as we are, but remained without sin. If it is possible to fall from grace, how can we know we won't? The answer is simple. We know only as we keep listening to the voice of our shepherd. Wherever the Bible teaches us the certainty of salvation, whether in St. John's Gospel, where Jesus says that no one can snatch his sheep out of his hands, or in Romans, where Paul says that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ, it joins the assurance of salvation to hearing the Word of God. Show me someone who quits attending church, who quits listening to the Word of God, and I'll show you someone who doesn't know where he will spend eternity. Where those who are sorry for their sins meet Jesus in His words of forgiveness, that is where faith is sustained, and that is our way of escape. That is how we can bear up under temptation and keep the faith. Amen. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. We'd like to invite you also to the services of our parish on Sunday morning at 8:30, Divine Service at St. John Lutheran Church in Fairview. Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, Divine Service at Trinity Lutheran Church in Sydney. Tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.